Ganesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Fighting Parkinson's disease through boxing almost seems counterintuitive. But boxing is something that Carrie Howard has embraced in her battle against the disease with great success. And we're going to talk about that today, as well as celebrate her award from the Northwest chapter of the American Parkinson Disease Association for her efforts to raise awareness about Parkinson's. So first of all, Carrie, I want to very much congratulate you for winning this award. I mean, it encompasses a pretty wide region.
Yes, thanks so much, Rhonda. It was totally unexpected, and people have been nothing but supportive, so I'm very honored.
And it's going to be exciting to hear about how you are using boxing to stay healthy, stay strong, and keep the disease from making inroads. And we're going to be talking with Janet Valentour and Alec Navalinen a little bit later about your routine, which I'm
yes.
really interested to hear about. But first of all, before we go there, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the disease itself. What were your first symptoms?
Ironically, it was a smallest of twitches in the little finger of one hand. But surprisingly, even that little twitch was so noticeable as being something different for me. And I tried to ignore it, which I did for a year, and then finally went in and saw a specialist, a movement disorder specialist, which are the neurologists that work with Parkinson's and other movement disorder diseases, and was told, "You have Parkinson's."
And I just roughly, and I'm sure this is not like a precise explanation, but there is a neurotransmitter called dopamine in the brain that we all have that sends signals. And for some reason, in people with Parkinson's, the dopamine isn't being created in the brain.
That's exactly right. I'm not a neurologist, so I won't try to explain all the details of the alpha-synuclein proteins that glob onto neurons in your brain and impede the development of dopamine, but that's exactly what happens.
And it seems that people of all ages can be affected by it, and we're noticing that often the elderly wind up with Parkinson's symptoms.
The average age of onset is 60, and I was 60 when I was diagnosed. There is a subset of the disease, and there are various forms of Parkinson's, but the primary ones are the older onset, and then they also have a young onset where, like, look at Michael J. Fox. He was in his late 20s when he was diagnosed.
Yeah, so it is a strange disease. Something that we have yet to fully understand, and maybe we can talk about some of the research that's going on a little bit later. But I want to find out when you decided to take up boxing on your Parkinson's journey.
It was very shortly after I was diagnosed. And when I first got my diagnosis, I was unprepared for it. I didn't expect it. And I think a common reaction is you kind of go into a tailspin because you feel like the rug has been pulled out from under you. The doctor says it's incurable and it's progressive. Oh, and we have some medicines we can give you. I just felt I needed to do as much as I could, and I learned about Rocksteady Boxing, and along with a couple other of my friends who just happened to be recently diagnosed, we sat down in the coffee shop one day in Juneau and said, "We got to get this program in Juneau." And so that's how it all began.
And how did you feel when you started it? Were you kind of scared?
No, I loved it. I went to the, well, I'd never boxed before. And initially when we got going, it was me and all the gray-haired guys, as I like to call them, because I was the only woman. I mean, we didn't have any female coaches at the time. So that was a little intimidating. But then when I realized none of the other Parkinson's patients had boxing experience, really. And then when I could get my hot pink boxing gloves, it made it all the more fun.
Hot pink boxing gloves.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, I want to bring Alec into the conversation. He's one of your coaches. We also have Janet here as well. Alec, as I said earlier, to me, it's counterintuitive that you would want to subject a person with Parkinson's to boxing because, you know, we read about these head injuries that boxers have had.
Right, and that's a common misconception. Our class is a non-contact boxing-inspired fitness class, and so there's no contact ever. But we go through boxing drills. We use mitts, speed bag, heavy bag. We have exercises that are designed for folks with Parkinson's, and so we'll work on balance, posture, hand-eye coordination, mind-body, and then, of course, strength and endurance.
So, Carrie, is it a pretty tough regimen for anybody that's even in good health to go through some of these things?
Yes, absolutely. And the irony is that the workout we go through is good for anybody, and especially anybody who's aging, because you don't have to have Parkinson's to have balance issues and strength issues and stamina issues as you get older. So it's a darn good workout, especially when Coach Janet tries to sneak in 3-minute rounds instead of 2-minute rounds, which she does.
Well, Janet, we got to have you here in the conversation because you were the one who nominated Carrie for this award.
Yes, thank you, Rhonda. And I just want to say that every single boxer in our class is incredibly optimistic and positive, and their corner men, spouses, are inspirational. But Carrie does stand out. It's pretty amazing watching her. Often in class, we'll stand around at the end or beginning and ask for anybody have an announcement, and somebody might say, well, there's a new medication out there. I'm wondering, does anyone know anything? And Carrie will always step in and say, yes, I just read an article. I'll send it to you. Or she'll come to class and say, there's a workshop starting next week. Anybody interested? I can send you that information. But moreover, Carrie has gone to our legislator. She's gone to our Congress, and she's advocated for Parkinson's disease awareness, and I find her amazing.
You know, you're really grateful when you have someone that will be public about an illness and talk about it and share that information, because when we go through a severe illness, whether it's cancer or like MS, another neuromuscular degenerative disease, it's pretty frightening, and I'm sure that knowledge gives you some kind of a comfort.
Yes, and, you know, I think that education and advocacy components of what I do are really important, too. I mean, a lot of people might think they know what Parkinson's is, but they really don't. So I know when I went back to D.C. to lobby Alaska's congressional delegation, I sat down with each of the members and said, do you know anyone with Parkinson's? And they all said no. And I said, well, you do now. And I just told them my story and then did my advocacy. And it's something, you know, I'm retired. I never thought I'd be still doing this type of work, but I do it because I can. And not everyone with Parkinson's is interested or able to do. So as long as I have a voice and I can use it for that purpose, I will.
So now that you've gotten this award, does anything come with it other than just the recognition? Do you get a platform maybe to share more with people?
You know, I think it has kind of elevated my exposure in terms of some other members of the Parkinson's community. And already I've been asked by some Parkinson's organizations to participate in various programs they have going on. So, you know, I wasn't looking for more to do, but again, if opportunities come up and they make sense, I will do it. And then I did get a really nice 4-pound glass trophy.
Oh.
It's easy to be forgotten in Alaska, and I think Carrie's outreach has been really important for everyone here in Juneau and in Alaska.
So this Rock Steady program for people with Parkinson's happens at Pavitt's Gym. How many people do you have involved in that program?
You know, it's it can be seasonal. Sometimes in the winter, we'll have 5 people in the studio and 5 people on Zoom. And in the summer, we'll have 15 people in the studio and as many as 40 on Zoom. When the pandemic started, we actually applied for a grant through the APDA. Carrie was instrumental in that. And we were able to bring more people in from the lower 48 to visit our class here in Juneau. So that was really neat. So we meet 3 times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And if you want more information, you can go stop at Pavitt's, pick up a brochure, or talk to a staff member there.
And Carrie, quickly, how did you feel when you first started it? I mean, how did you measure your progress to know whether or not this was helping you?
Well, that's a good question. And I think more than anything for me, you know, physical measures are hard to assess. They put you through a standardized testing every time you see your doctor. And I'm lucky that my illness has not progressed very much. More than anything, though, it's again, the mental part of it. You're doing something positive. Whenever you feel good, that makes your health better. And so I think everyone walks away from class just feeling good about their efforts and the camaraderie and the wonderful coaches and program.
I have to ask, is there something physically about punching a bag and just going at it?
You know,
does it do something for your psyche, so to speak?
Well, it probably helps release dopamine, which is good. But I tell you, even more than hitting the bag, I like hitting Alex's mitts because there's nothing like having a moving subject there. And Alec will tell you, I like to hit hard on my delivery punch.
Carrie enjoys picking on me, so.
Well, that too.
But is there some kind of an eye-hand contact thing by going for your mitts?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent observation. The hand-eye coordination with hitting a mitt, hitting the bag, is perfect. And then boxing is an interesting choice because it involves a lot of different kinds of movements. And I think that's why it's rock steady boxing instead of rock steady cycling or rock steady golf. You know, with boxing, you have to do a lot of different things, a lot of different movements, and that hand-eye coordination is really important.
So it's a real cross-training type of regimen. So Janet, can you describe how Carrie has made progress? What have you observed in coaching her?
Well, I can tell you one thing. She can jump a rope. She brings her old jump rope from college, and she impresses me. You know, the disease affects everybody differently, and ideally the rock steady boxing either slows the progression, stops the progression. But it's not observable, really, in the program because it is motivational and it's about an attitude, and everybody comes in and works as hard as they can. And Carrie just stays amazing all the time.
The group can really help people, motivate people. And a lot of times if you train by yourself, you know, you may quit after a half hour, but in a group setting, you're there for an hour and a half, and it really motivates everyone in the group.
I would imagine that if you have Parkinson's, that you might be more prone to depression just because it's so challenging and there's so little that you can do to control that. Do you think that this helps beat depression a little bit?
Absolutely, and you're right. You know, there's a whole cadre of symptoms that you may get when you have Parkinson's, and clearly depression, anxiety, you know, forgetfulness, that can all be a part of it. And so it can become very isolating. So again, just the group setting and the group encouragement and being physical truly does release dopamine, and that's what we're all struggling to have enough of. So, you know, it's a win-win. There's really no downsides at all.
You know, I first became aware of Parkinson's when I developed a friendship with Peter Dunlap Scholl. He, years ago, was a cartoonist for the Anchorage Daily News,
right.
A brilliant political cartoonist. And he has done a comic book for Parkinson's to help educate people about the illness. But one of the things that I learned from him was how much exercise was important in stopping the progression of the disease. And he did other things, like he had deep brain stimulation. Mm-hmm. And so there are therapies and things, but so far, I guess maybe the thing that people know is that exercise seems to have some direct benefit in stopping the progression. But are you hoping for some research or something around the corner that you know of that might be helpful to you and others with Parkinson?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want a cure. We don't want something that just slows down the disease. But Parkinson's has been around for a very long time, and the number of people who are getting the disease is growing. I mean, there's 60,000 people in the Pacific Northwest region. There's 10 million people worldwide. It's the second fastest growing brain disease. And as the population ages, it's only going to increase. My family has no risk factors. I got it for idiopathic reasons. And without knowing what those are, until there's a cure, you fight for the cure.
Right. So one of the things that you said earlier is that people just don't have enough information about the disease itself, and it has a pretty wide spectrum of how it affects people. So where is the best place, one shop-stopping place, to get information?
You know, I can't just say one stop, but what I can tell you is there are a number of fabulous Parkinson's organizations where they have information, webinars, just conferences, put you in contact with other people. So clearly the American Parkinson's Disease Association Northwest. There's also a great organization called the Davis-Finney. Davis-Finney was a world-class bicyclist with Lance Armstrong, and he developed Parkinson's and has founded an organization, the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So there's a number of places people can go for information.
And just in closing, before we go, any thoughts, any wishes you want to make for Carrie as we honor her for receiving the Optimism Award for the Pacific Northwest?
I just think the award is, the name of the award is perfect for Carrie. When you think about Carrie, you think about positivity and optimism. And so great job by Carrie.
Thank you.
Janet?
Alec spoke for me. I just want to keep working with her as long as I can. And she is inspirational, and she keeps bringing more boxers into the room. And I'm so pleased that she received this award.
Well, you have written a lot about Parkinson's and done a lot of public awareness, Carrie, but I saw this quote from an article about you, and it said, "Living with PD is a challenge, but it is a disease you can live with, and for that I'm grateful. No one knows what the future holds, but I believe in being kind, brave, and grateful. Pessimists may be right more often, but optimists have more friends and more fun." Yeah. Does that pretty much sum up your philosophy on life, Carrie?
Yeah, you know, that's how I've approached a number of challenges, and I'm definitely all about the fun.
All right. Well, I want to thank the three of you for being here with us today.
Thanks
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We've learned so much.